Dare to dream, dream, dream. Welcome to the Dare to Dream radio show. I'm your host, Deborah Dashinger. Join me every week as I interview inspiring guests from all walks of life, all ages, all backgrounds, all parts of the world, who had a dream and found a way to make that dream come true. Listen to this worldwide award-winning radio show every week and learn to dare to dream and make your dreams come true. Sit back and enjoy, and welcome.
You can be anything, a rock star, beauty queen, fly with a broken wing, baby, if you dare to dream, dare to dream.
Hey, Debbie Dashinger here. Dare to Dream, as you heard in the song, that is this radio show. And really, I'm here to inspire you. What are your dreams? Figure them out. Put them down on paper. Put them someplace where you'll see them. And be committed to working toward making that your reality. When you live a dream-filled life in every aspect of your world, it opens doors to so much happiness and satisfaction. It's amazing who you will meet and what you will get to do. It is definitely part of why I'm here, is to create dreams and also to teach the success of creating them. A little later, I've got a great guest coming on, Carrie Green, who talks about the importance of charging what you are worth. Charge what you are worth, do you? And how to get it. So she talks about your value. Just love that, your value. And I'm going to open up by addressing something that I find really fascinating, which is work by Dr. Joe Dispenza. And you know what? And I'm going to do a mini rant here for a second. I'm going to do something kind of fun. First of all, my computer just started shutting down in the middle of saying all this, so don't you love that? And another little computer rant is, have you ever had to put something up on a website? And when you go to the website, you put it up, you do a copy paste, you should be out, you should be done, but it says, it only accepts this many characters. And you go back into a document, and you're literally, man, you could spend hours redoing a draft version just to make the amount of characters that this website will allow. And sometimes you end up saying basically something like, Debbie Dashinger is a success and media expert, and you're out. I mean, it's asking you for a bio, and you'd really love to go on and give a little bit of information about credentials. I find that on so many websites, and I'm ranting about it because I just had that experience. I'm in the midst of it, and I cannot get the darn thing even put up and get out because I have to keep rearranging characters and editing just to get it to fit. So there you go. If you have the same, my heart is with you. It is such a pain to do things like that. So I do want to talk about something that's new before Harry comes on, which is work by Dr. Joe Dispenza. I really love this guy. I read his books. I follow his work. And why I love him is because he's actually not just saying things out in the transformational world, but he is also doing a lot of scientific experimentation. And he's coming up with amazing things. It's amazing for me to read because, as an expert in creating dreams and in success, I find his work is paralleling what I teach, paralleling it in a way that it puts science to what I talk about. So let me dive in, because this is like, why change is kind of weird and uncomfortable, but actually it's necessary and ultimately good. Here's the deal. Your brain is made up of some 100 billion nerve cells called neurons. Each neuron has its own biocomputer with more than 60 megabytes of RAM, and it's capable of processing enormous amounts of data, up to hundreds of thousands of functions per second. And as we learn new things and have new experiences in our lives, our neurons make new connections, exchanging electrochemical information with each other. So if learning is making new synaptic connections, then remembering is keeping those connections wired together. When we continue thinking the same thoughts, the neuron keeps firing in the same way. Let me take a breath here. When we talk about change your beliefs and you'll change what you create, let's go back to what I just said. When we continue thinking the same thoughts, the neuron keeps firing in the same ways. Same thing with dreams. let me step out a second. When you feel that you cannot create that dream, you cannot go past X, you're living up to this, but past that seems impossible, again I say, when we continue thinking the same thoughts, the neuron keeps firing in the same ways. Okay, let's go forward. When jungles of neurons fire in unison to support a new thought, we're talking new thought, when it supports a new thought, then an additional chemical, a protein, is created within the nerve cell and lands in the DNA. That protein then switches on several genes. This means that through new thought or new experiences, we can personally activate new genes. I don't know about you, but that so freaking excites me. When we have a new thought or new experiences, we can personally activate new genes. Now, when you're thinking the same thoughts and having the same feelings all the time because you're not learning or doing anything new, your brain is firing its neurons and activating the neural networks in exactly the same sequences, patterns, and combinations. We've reinforced these circuits so often they've become hardwired. Neuroscience states nerve cells that fire together wire together. So let's now talk about neuroplasticity. Neuroplasticity, say it three times fast, neuroplasticity. Our goal then is to think outside of the box, to make the brain fire in new ways, and that's what having an open mind means. Research shows that as we use our brains, they grow and change. In order to change, you have to become conscious of your unconscious self, which is just a set of hardwired programs. The hardest part about change is not making the same choices we made the day before. And the reason it's so difficult is that the moment we no longer are thinking the same thoughts that led to the same choices, which cause us to automatically act in habitual ways so that we can experience the same of the events in order to reaffirm the same emotions of our identity, we step out and we immediately feel uncomfortable. This new state of being is unfamiliar. It's unknown. It doesn't feel normal. We don't feel like ourselves anymore because we're not ourselves. And because everything feels uncertain, we can no longer predict the feeling of the unfamiliar self and how it's mirrored back to us in our lives. So usually when people step into this river of change, that void between the old self and the new self, it is so uncomfortable that what do? They immediately slip back into being their old selves again. Now, unconsciously, they think, this doesn't feel right, I'm uncomfortable, or I don't feel so good. And the moment they accept that thought, they will unconsciously make the same choices again, and then they say to themselves, this feels right. When we understand that crossing the river of change and feeling that discomfort is actually the biological, neurological, chemical, and even genetic death of the old self, we have power over change and can set our sights on the other side of the river. The other side of the river is where we want to head. If we can comprehend the real biological variations that are occurring from subconscious habits and behaviors in which our bodies are changing on a cellular level, we can forge on. And if we can remember that we are modifying our very genes from this life and untold previous generations, we can stay focused and inspired to an end. I can tell you right now, I have a commitment with my girlfriends. It's called Summer of Fun. Summer of Fun basically means we work too hard, we work too much, we're tired, we don't want to keep doing it, we don't like the results on every level. So Summer of Fun means being committed to stepping out and doing things differently. Let's go to the pool, let's hang out with our puppies, let's go to a concert, let's go to do music, let's go out for some amazing foodie meals. You get the idea. But even for my neurons firing, waiting for a new chemical protein means I have to do new behavior in spite of what is comfortable. So some people call this experience the dark night of the soul. It's the phoenix igniting itself and burning to ashes, and that old self has to die for a new one to be reborn. And of course, that feels uncomfortable. So if you say you don't like being in that void because it's so disorienting and you can't see what lies ahead because you can't predict your future, I'd say, actually, that's great. That's great. Because the best way to predict the future is to create it, not from the known, but from the unknown. So what I'm telling you is when we do new thoughts, do new things, choose new ways, the new self is born and we literally become biologically different. New neural connections will be sprouted and sealed by the conscious choice to think and act in new ways every day. The connections must be reinforced by repeating the new habits and behaviors over and over until they become a habit. And that's when new chemical emotions are created. That's when new genes are signaled to make new proteins that alter our state of being in new ways. And as we know, the expression of proteins is the expression of life. And the expression of life is equal to the health of the body, and also a new level of structural and functional health and life follows. A renewed mind and renewed body then emerge, and obviously a new life. So physically, biologically, you have literally just become someone else. That is true metamorphosis. So when I say don't just live your dreams, go out and create your dreams, I mean that on every level, it will completely change you and everyone who knows you. And how important is that? Well, we are going to be talking about more change. I'm going to bring on Carrie Green. She's a business strategist and productivity expert for entrepreneurs. Carrie spent 15 years on Wall Street in marketing and product development for major brokerage firms and the New York Stock Exchange. Carrie left after 9/11 to take charge of her life and start her own profitable business. Carrie helps business owners get clear on what they want and create simple and straightforward plans so they are both profitable and happy. Carrie is a frequent speaker on industry panels, and she's the author of two books, Because You're Worth It, How to Make More Money by Charging More Money, and Chaos to Cash. And if you want to learn more about Carrie Green, go to carriegreencoaching.com, and that's Green with an E, GREENECoaching.com. Carrie, welcome to Dare to Dream Show. It is so great to have you.
It is so wonderful to be here with you, Debbie. Thank you so much. And really what I'm looking forward to today is starting to make some new connections with people's neurons. And that was just fascinating. I was sitting here taking notes. So thank you so much for sharing that with me.
You're really welcome. And I agree with you. I think you are going to be changing some neurons. I've read your book, and specifically we're talking about the relaunch of your amazing book, Because You're Worth It. I feel like this is a book of our times. There are so many business people, spiritual people, entrepreneurs more than ever before on the planet, and so many of them are seriously undercharging. I'd like to start there. What is the undercharging about, and why are we doing it?
You know, it's fascinating to me, and I really believe we always teach what we need to learn ourselves. Mm-hmm. So everything I've taught over the years and everything I've been involved with, clearly this is something that I need to learn myself. But I was leading a mastermind group, I guess it's about 2 years ago. I had a dozen clients in the room, and during this mastermind, everybody was coming to the room and presenting things about their businesses. One woman walked up to the front of the room and said, I charge $120 an hour, and I'm really happy with that. And then I asked her a little bit more information. She said, well, I probably work about 3 hours for every hour I bill. And then another woman walked to the front of the room, and she was telling us about her business. She had really low sights for her business. She was looking to create a business that was going to bring in about $40,000 a year. And as she spoke, she was telling us that she had sold over $1 million worth of product from stage, $20 products. You have to sell a lot of $20 products to get to $1 million. She had also sold over 500,000 copies of her books.
Wow.
And I'm looking at her, I'm thinking, everybody in this room would like to do that. Why aren't you, don't you see what you're worth? And like, people were just coming up to the room again and again, like, and not understanding their value. And we believe somewhere that we have to wait until we're blessed by somebody to say we can charge money. And most of my clients are service-based entrepreneurs, and we're really charging for ourselves. You're charging for what you've got in your brain. You're charging for what you learned. You're charging for things that you might even think are easy right now. And
you know, there's a gentleman who runs a company, and he charges an unbelievable amount, probably to most of us, for a private session.
Mm-hmm.
And he's so transparent, and he'll say in front of an entire workshop that he basically got tired of having people come to him. They have to be in his presence generally. But whether they're on the presence or the phone, he got really tired listening to the same BS and the stories and the drama going on in people's lives and the help they were looking for. And he literally said to himself, what is it going to cost me to stay here and listen to this? And he literally set a price and said, you know, for that price, I could sit here. I'll do it. That's literally how he decides how to charge.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, this guy is, it's either $2,500 now for an hour or $5,000 for an hour. And do you know, people pay it.
Yeah.
They sign up in droves. Of course, he's amazing at what he does, too.
Of course.
He's talented. But don't you think that's fascinating?
It's all, our price that we charge is the statement of what we believe we are worth. So that means if you charged $10 an hour or $10 for whatever transformation that you're making or helping the other person make or $1 million for that, it's what you believe yourself. It's not even so much what the prospect believes, but what you believe. Because in any sales conversation, the person most sure in that sales conversation is the one who's going to make the sale. So if you believe you are worth it, you will, more than the client believes or the prospect believes, that you're not. And that's all about your confidence. You'll make the sale. If they believe you're not worth it, well, then you're not going to make the sale. And that, again, comes about from you believing who you are more than anything else.
Interesting. So why do you think it's easy then for people to undervalue themselves? You said you mostly work with service-based entrepreneurs.
Yeah, I work
with service-based. So they've got a service. Why are they undervaluing themselves or the service?
You know, a lot of the times we think that it's easy. So I was working with one of my clients the other day, and he does a lot of writing and marketing copy and things like that. And he could sit down and he'll just like come up with this brilliant idea. It's like, you know, he actually helped me with my tagline, clarity, simplicity, and profits. And he just came up with that in a nanosecond. So then like he says to me, well, Carrie, it was so easy to come up with that. Why should I charge you for it? Meanwhile, it's the basis of everything I'm doing. So, you know, it's fascinating. It's like we put this time value on it. Well, if I got it really quick, or I saw it really quick, or I understand it really quick, why should I do it? Or another client of mine said to me one day, you know, I'm brand new to this leadership coaching thing, Carrie. I think I'm really pushing it. I'm charging $200 an hour. And she had spent years and years and years running multi-million-dollar divisions of Fortune 500 companies and coaching and doing all this stuff within the organization. And I looked at it and was like, you know, isn't any of that stuff worth anything? So, you know, it's about, like, we listen to our demons and we listen to our gremlins and we listen to the fear inside of our stomachs and we listen to, like, you know, the nagging little thoughts in our heads instead of looking at the transformation and what we're really bringing to our clients.
That's very interesting, the transformational part. And like this gentleman you're talking about who in 1 second can write something like that, and I hope he listens to your interview because I want him to hear from me. I have to do this myself. I have to write these copies and headlines, and it is not only not fun, but I find it very difficult, and clever is clever, and it causes people to click and open. So then what are tips and tricks, Carrie? How can we value our own value?
So I really look at the basis of my book is what's called the value formula. And there are 5 components of it. And I'll just run through them really, really quick, and then I'll go more into all of them as, you know, whatever you want. But the first one is understanding your vision. It's your vision for yourself as well as your vision for your clients. The next step is about actions. It's the actions you take to support that vision. The next step is learning, what you've learned. It's all those experiences, everything that you're already bringing to the table that might not be the most recent certification you've gotten. The fact that I worked on Wall Street has to do with what I do today. The fact that I'm a mom, that I love to bake and cook and hike, also have to do with the things I do today. So all those pieces. You're unique. It's your faults. It's your quirks. It's the things that make you laugh. It's the things that make you cry. It's the things that make you human. These are the things people are buying. And it's you could say enough. Say enough to the things that don't support you. Say enough to the next certification. You don't need that next certification. You're already ready. You already are enough. So those are the five components of the value formula. And I use them with my clients on a regular basis to help them to start to peel back a little bit, to understand what they're bringing to the table, to understand that their creativity is worth something, to understand that they get to charge, they get to be rewarded for it, and they start to recognize it in themselves as well. And that's the key to all of it, to recognize it in yourself so that you can help your clients recognize it in themselves so that they are happy to buy the product or service that you are selling.
I know that you say in your book that understanding your value enables you to decide where to focus your attention. I thought that was very interesting.
Yeah.
I think managing one's attention can make or break someone's success.
Mm-hmm.
So when you say that, what ways does understanding our value focus our attention?
So when you understand the value that you bring to the table, see, what's an example I could give you? I like using examples. It makes it so much easier for everybody else. I know that I am really good, personally, at taking lots of random ideas and synthesizing them down into one thing. It's something I'm very, very good at with my clients. I could do it with messaging. I could do it with a sales conversation, with creating a package, and all those kinds of things. I'm very good at it. And there are a lot of other things I'm very good at as well. You know, we're all very good at things. But if I understand that that's the key thing that I can do and I could deliver for a client, by understanding that, let's say I have another idea. This other random idea comes to me. Somebody says to me, hey, Carrie, I've got a great idea. Let's partner together and create this program on, let's make this up, on developing a brand new website. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm sure I could help somebody to do that. And I've helped people create websites many times. I've worked with that on my clients, worked with that with my clients frequently. But that's really not my gift. That's not my sweet spot. And, yeah, I love working with people. And if I could partner with someone, it's a lot more fun and everything else. But by understanding the real value I have, I can now sit back and say, my real value, my real gift that I'm able to do with my clients is to really help synthesize things, get clarity, clear the decks, help them understand. You know, that's my real gift. Does it make sense for me to take a step back, work with this other person, create this new product on websites and stuff, which I could do and I'd be very good at, and I'd love to work with that person, but does that make sense? And it gives me the ability to take a look at it and to kind of like weigh, like, is it good, is it not good, and just make a decision. There might be times where I'd say yes to that because it will support some other goals. There might be other times when the answer would be no.
Is there something you use to create that discernment? Do you have like a litmus so you know, yes, no?
There are a couple of questions I ask. One question I ask a lot, and this is a pair of questions and then a secondary thing afterwards. First question is, if I do this, what can't I do? So, for instance, right now I'm with you, I'm talking with you. That means I'm not speaking with another client, working on a program, or frankly making dinner. I'm just not. Not a good thing or a bad thing, it's just truth. If I wasn't on the phone with you, I could do all those other things. So if I do this, what can't I do? And if I don't do this, what can I do instead? So I look at those two things and I start to make a decision because time is finite. Resources are finite. Yeah, that's just the way it is. The next step to it is I start to ask a question, what's best for me and my business right now? And it's not just what's best for me. It's not what's just best for my business, but how do they merge together? So it's sometimes in my life, like there was a point in my life when the kids were just all involved in a lot of different things, and really my focus had to be there and not on my business. So what was best for me and my business right then was to pay a little bit more attention to me and recognize that I wasn't going to be necessarily making the business or making the connections or growing my business to a certain level because I was making a conscious decision to focus on me. Other times it might be the flip side. So to put it through that first, if I do this, what can't I do? And if I don't do this, what can I do instead? And then what's best for me and my business right now to help me make those decisions.
Yeah, I love that. That's so helpful. If you can take something through a litmus test like that, then you have a better idea. And I'm sure once you start to see the success of those choices, that it really does lead you down the right path and you open you up, you want to start trusting that much more as you go forward.
Absolutely. And that's really what the action part of the value formula is all about, is, you know, what actions are you going to take to support the vision that you've created?
Yeah. So speaking about action, I love this, that you have been in business, Carrie Green, on your own since 2003, and you've always been profitable. So I've got to ask, even your first year as an entrepreneur,
even
you were profitable?
Now, I will be 1,000% transparent here. Have I always earned what I've wanted to earn? No. I've always been profitable. And it's interesting. When I left Wall Street, I had a number in mind. I had to make enough money to, I had what I was already making on Wall Street. I knew that number. I had to make enough, without the nanny, without the commute, without the clothing, without the dry cleaning, without the, so I took all these numbers out. And all of a sudden, that's all I had to make. And it was like, oh, I could do that. I earned that money really quickly. What's fascinating is how long it took me to earn even a penny more than that.
Really? Why is that?
Because that's all about mindset and understanding my value. Because what happens is that I believed what Wall Street told me. Wall Street told me how much I was worth, including the nanny and the dry cleaning and everything else. Wall Street told me what I was worth. And I took that number that Wall Street told me because, well, they're smart, aren't they? And Wall Street knows everything, or whatever. It was a whole different conversation there. But, in my mind, they're smart. They're executives. They know more than me. They're better than me. They're everything more than me. So clearly they're right. They told me what I was worth, and I believed them. And it wasn't until I started understanding myself and going through the journey of having your own business, and boy, if there's a course in personal development, it should be called entrepreneurship. but it wasn't until I did that I was able to start earning more than that. So yes, I was always profitable. Did I always make what I wanted? No. However, yes, I've always been profitable.
And what was the turning point for you? Because it sounds like you got yourself, so you're making money, you get yourself to a point where you say, you know what, that's an old paradigm, that's somebody else's indoctrination, I'm ready for a bigger game. What was it you told yourself or did out in the world that actually created that difference?
Oh, wow, yeah, it's actually interesting. I've done a lot of thinking about this. I've had coaches throughout my business. I somehow lucked into finding coaches. Some are better than others, of course, but I've had coaches the whole time through. It wasn't until a coach of mine said to me, oh, I guess it's about 7-8 years ago now. When I left Wall Street, I could talk about this one forever. Part of it is in my books. But when I left Wall Street, I was quite wounded. I left right after 9/11, or about a year after 9/11. I ran away from Wall Street and everything business represented. And somehow I started my own business, but that's a different, just didn't realize that, I guess. But I left, I believed that I had to leave behind all my skills, everything that had to do with how do you create and run a business, marketing, sales, everything. And didn't want a teacher have anything to do with it. And it wasn't until one of my coaches said to me, Carrie, you are business. You've had a successful business. You've been profitable every year. Clearly you know how to market. Mm-hmm. Clearly you know how to sell. What is going on? Now, I was earning more and more money. However, the bottom line that I was taking home was never really going up enough. And it wasn't until she said, Carrie, go back to what you know and start owning the fact that I know business. Start owning the fact that marketing and sales is something I can do. Go back to the fact, or more than I could do, it's part of me. and start, and it was through some solid coaching, through solid support from my husband, my kids, reading, understanding my clients' belief in me, where, and listening to myself, listening to, like, all of a sudden, like, I'd say something, like, huh, and I'd write it down because it was such great advice, you know? And it's, and I'm sure you do that all the time. Like, all of a sudden, these words come out of your mouth, and you're like, wow, that was pretty smart, you know? Mm. So it was, it took time. But that, those are the sorts of things that it took for me.
Well, I hope that if you're an entrepreneur, you're starting to get a little light at the end of the tunnel, and it's not a train, it's a light that is saying there might be a different way to do things. When we come back, we're going to be talking to Carrie about procrastination. She has some amazing statistics in her book, and I want to teach you through her about procrastination, but also what perfectionism is doing or maybe not doing for us today. This is Debbie Dashinger and Dare to Dream Radio. Join me after the show at DebbieDashinger.com or go to Facebook at Dare to Dream Radio and TV. We'll be right back.
MediaMasteryRadio.com offers groundbreaking publicity and training for books and radio. Programs and products for authors, speakers, and entrepreneurs are available at MediaMasteryRadio.com. Debbie leads workshops, offers worldwide private coaching, leads retreats, and speaks from stage on media and success. Her clients leave sessions successful with business and messaging brilliance. In today's world, navigating media is essential. Learn how at MediaMasteryRadio.com.
What if the world doesn't function the way we've been told? What if we truly can bend the laws of physical reality? What if we can end limitation? What if weird were the coolest thing you could be? And what if it's time for a totally different reality? Are you ready to create it? Are you ready to dream as big as you dare? Hi, my name is Dane here. 13 years ago, I started to truly ask questions. Actually, I started to be the question, and everything in my life changed for me. This is your invitation to step into something that Einstein, Marie Curie, Newton, Da Vinci, Shakespeare, Gandhi, Galileo, and Aristotle all knew to be true. It's not about the answer. It's about being the question, always. It's about truly being you, whatever that looks like, and changing this world. Is now the time? Start by signing up for a free video series at beingyouclass.com. That's beingyouclass.com. What if you are the gift and the change this world requires? Beingyouclass.com.
Tell the world about your product or business. Advertise on Dare to Dream Radio. The award-winning program is syndicated on over 60 stations, has a big following, and large listenership. If you're ready to expand your reach, become a sponsor or advertiser on Dare to Dream Radio. Best rates, great results. Email at ads@debbiedashinger.com. That's ads@debbiedashinger.com.
When making the decision to hire a coach, find a pro who delivers. Debbie Dashinger is an expert with an impressive platform that gets results. Let go of issues and shift your life into brilliance. Go to www.debbiedashinger.com. That's D-A-C-H-I-N-G-E-R, debbiedashinger.com. Debbie believes that we are each meant to shine our light and fulfill our unique path. Hire a coach who delivers. www.debbiedashinger.com.
When you walk through the world truly being you, everything and everyone is invited to change. Join Dr. Dane here throughout 2016 in his unique classes on being you. Whether you've been asking for something greater, looking for a way to change your life, or longing to change the world, Dr. Dane's Being You classes crack open a world of ease, joy, and possibilities. For a list of Dr. Dane here's upcoming classes and resources on being you, go to www.beingyouclass.com.
MyBestsellerBook.com helps you self-publish and you keep all the royalties. Even if your book is already published, MyBestseller.com will help you become a best-selling author. Your book will be promoted to a large global following. Enjoy a press release and book review. Make your next book launch bigger and better. MyBestsellerBook.com has long-term client credibility and 100% success in turning books into bestsellers. MyBestsellerBook.com.
I'm interviewing author and business strategist coach Carrie Green, who says your uniqueness is what your clients are buying. So first, I want to start on things that actually stop us from being unique. Let's start, Carrie, with perfectionism. How does that show up in a business person's life, perfectionism, and how does it stop them?
Perfectionism is a fascinating thing. We all want the stuff we want to finish. We all want the stuff that we do to be perfect. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And yet, because of perfectionism, we're not getting things out there. You know, I look back on the website that I created. Now, you mentioned I've been in business since 2003. I think I've been through 3 or 4 iterations of websites at this point, and 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 iterations of headshots and everything else. And I look back on those things from the way at the beginning, and like, they send shivers. I'm like, oh, my God, did I really do that? And the truth is that when I put those things out there, I thought they were pretty good. And I would never, ever be where I was today had I not released that to the world. So what I can tell you about perfectionism is that perfectionism, and I could talk for hours about this, you know, perfectionism and procrastination and where they tie together and all that other kind of stuff. But the bottom line is you are better served putting something out there that's not quite perfect. Now, having said that, I'm not talking about sloppy work. Proofread your work, check for spelling errors, and some are still going to slip through. I'm not talking about sloppy work. But there's a point where you say, what are my clients? What are my prospects? What is the world expecting from me right now? And going out with what they're expecting from you, as opposed to going out there with what they're expecting, plus every single bell and whistle you could possibly imagine. So where is perfectionism stopping us? Where is it stopping us from getting out there to the world and saying, you know what, if I still wait to just get this one more thing finished, no one can criticize me. It's not good enough yet. So that's where perfectionism is showing up so much, especially for us as, you know, more of a service base. When you're really selling yourself, you want it to be perfect, of course. And it's not going to be. It's just not, because tomorrow you're going to connect a couple more synapses in your brain, and tomorrow you'll already see something else that you can do to it. You know, you mentioned this is a re-release of my book. Don't even ask me to read it and find all the things that I would improve of it. You know, because the second it went to print is the second I knew that there were things I wanted to grow in it. Had I not published it, though, there would be nobody reading it, and that's not fair to them either.
I like to say that done is better than perfect.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is, because you can't grow unless it's done, and neither can anybody else.
You can't grow unless it's done. You can't be seen by others who need your uniqueness and your gifts unless it's done.
Yes.
And I love the story that you're talking about, putting out a product and finding that it actually reached those it needed to reach. It opened the doors it needed to.
Yeah.
And the thing about the book, Carrie, you know, for any author, I find, nobody's ever really done. It's almost a release. At some point, you just have to say, I'm letting go. I have to let go. I could keep drafting this ad infinitum.
Mm-hmm.
But really, is it good enough? Is it good enough? Is it well edited? Does it have a decent cover? Is my message in there? Ta-da.
When my first book came out, I read it, I proofed it, everything, you know, completely, of course, a million times. And I sent it to, I was so excited. I sent a copy to the first editor that I used. She wasn't the proofer at the end, but she's, you know, the main editor I had used in the book. And she sends me a note to say, Carrie, I can't believe we missed this. I'm like, what? If you read my bio, the About Carrie page on the last page of the book, there was a line, you know, it said something like, and on 9/11, Carrie, and on 9/11, and it just repeated itself. And I was like, oh, okay. But in the meantime, how many people had bought it and said, wow, what an amazing book. Thank you, Carrie. This helped me. So I fixed it. Oh, well.
Exactly. Exactly. And in self-publishing world, you can do that. And the next day it's up and it's corrected and no one knows the wiser. It is print on demand. I love that. Done is better than perfect.
And so besides perfectionism, procrastination, you have these amazing statistics in your book. I found it very eye-opening. Do you remember those statistics?
Yeah, I do, because I use these statistics all the time. I think I use them to comfort myself. 97% of the population procrastinates. 97. 25% of the population are chronic procrastinators, meaning that it has a real impact on their life. Now, those other 3% of the population, personally, I think they're liars.
But I love that.
But procrastination is everywhere. We do, and there's the reasons for it. Again, another thing we could talk about forever. Fear of failure, fear of success. And fear of success, I mean, really, what is that about? But we are. Like, what happens when you release that program and now you've got to fulfill the darn thing? Or what happens if someone actually said yes to working with you and now you've got to fulfill on that? Or what happens if that person that you've been trying to reach actually picks up the phone? Scary.
True. Oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God.
Yeah.
So what the heck can we do then? So, you know, and I'm not sure I resonate with that. I may be the tiny percent. But there are certain things that, everyone's got a trigger and a thing they want to put off, whether it's talking to someone and communicating with them or whether it's taking care of something that's coming up and really needs to be paid attention to or a bill or, you know, fill in the blanks. So, oh, my God, it totally has impact. Obviously, I think energetically it has impact. And I think on our business and our personalities, what can we do? Is there a way out?
A couple of things, yeah. First of all, I find a lot of the reasons people procrastinate is because they don't really know what they have to do next. Let me give you a really silly, simple example. A client I was working with years and years ago, she, and truly my first coaching client ever, so I wasn't all that good then. It took me 3 weeks to figure this one out. She had on her to-do list to call the dermatologist to make an appointment for her daughter. It seems simple, right? The next week, it's still on her to-do list. I'm like, well, what's the deal? She goes, I just didn't get around to it. And I said, okay, fine, call the dermatologist next. The next week, it's still on her to-do list. I'm like, really, what's the deal? I said, can we pick up the phone right now and call the dermatologist? And she said, no, I can't. What do you mean, no, I can't? Well, I've got to ask my daughter when her AP calculus and AP physics classes and also when her gym classes and lunches, because I'd rather pull her out during gym, and she's going on and on and on. Like, oh, so what you have on your to-do list isn't really what needs to happen. And so often we put things on our to-do list, which is really not the task. So you say, pay bills, all right? Do you have the material you need? Do you have the information you need? Is there a step that you need to do before that? Sometimes we put on our to-do list, create website. You're not going to wake up in the morning and it's going to be create website day. You're just not. So what does belong on your to-do list so that you would be able to do it? So understanding really what that first step is. So is there something you need to do or know or some help you need in order to do whatever thing you've been putting off? That's a big one.
So it's taking whatever is looming, and it sounds like it's chunking them into projects. So the to-do list might have a project or a real actionable step instead of the outcome. Is that right?
Yes, it is very much the actionable step. However, I think call dermatologist, I mean, that's an actionable step. Mm-hmm. However, when something like that is looming on your to-do list, is there something I need to do before that? Is there information I need? Is there support I need? What do I need to be able, what do I need in order for me to be able to do this? Because sometimes that actionable step, like everybody else is like, well, just make a whole bunch of sales calls and you'll get a new client. Well, what do you need to do? Maybe you need phone numbers. Maybe you don't even have the leads. And you're not even thinking that. You just think you need to make a bunch of calls, but who did you even call? Do you have the system to support that? So, you know, it's really taking a step back and asking yourself, is this really the next step? Other questions and other things that I look at are what's going to, because let's say you have all that, because that happens. I was working with a client yesterday who was able to finish a project that he had been working on for a while, and I said, well, what is it that enabled you to do it? And he said, well, you gave me a deadline. I said, yeah, great. Well, that's going to keep me in business for a long time, but what's really was behind the deadline? Why did my deadline work? Mm-hmm. And he said that what really struck him was the relief, that he understood the relief he would have and what that relief would bring him by completing the project. So for him to to sit back and understand the relief that he wanted and how getting this project done would give him that relief and what he would do with that relief is what enabled him to do that, plus, of course, the deadline I gave him.
How can people work with you, Carrie? Let's say there's entrepreneurs out there going, I kind of need this woman. I need a business strategist in my corner. What's the best way for them to get involved, and do you do a consultation?
Absolutely. Well, clearly you could just pick up the phone and call me or send me an email, carrie@carriegreencoaching.com. I'm happy to answer your email and figure out exactly how to work with you. However, just some different programs I have. I run a regular mastermind group that meets a couple of times a year, and I work with clients privately. I also have some group programs that I work with clients as well.
Great. And that's then CarrieGreenCoaching.com?
Carrie@CarrieGreenCoaching.com, with that annoying E at the end of green.
Fantastic. Well, when we come back, we're going to be talking to Carrie about money. I really want to get some information about the inflow of income for us, and also more about the importance of being unique. This is Debbie Dashinger and Dare to Dream Radio. Join me after the show on Twitter at Debbie Dashinger. Stay right there. I'll be right back.
Radio sells with immediacy. Radio sells everywhere. Radio is the cost-effective medium. Go to ads@debbiedashinger.com. Reach is nice, but frequency is better. You're always on the front page with Dare to Dream Radio. It's an award-winning program, syndicated on over 60 radio stations. Advertise and sponsor the Dare to Dream Radio show for optimal advertising results. Email ads@debbiedashinger.com.
What if there's nothing wrong with you? What if you're far greater than you've ever given yourself credit for? What if it's time to know the gift and the contribution you are to the world, and to like yourself a lot more? Hi, my name is Dane here. 13 years ago, I started to truly ask questions. Actually, I started to be the question, and everything changed for me. Asking questions opens doors to infinite possibilities. And it's not about finding the answer. It's about being the question. Always. What I'm inviting you to step into is something that Einstein, Marie Curie, Newton, Da Vinci, Gandhi, Picasso, and Aristotle all knew to be true. What if no question is too big or too small? What if anything is possible for you? What if together we could create a kinder, gentler, happier world? Is now the time? Go to beingyouclass.com and sign up for a free video series, My Gift to You. Beingyouclass.com. What if you, truly being you, are the gift and change this world requires? Beingyouclass.com.
Debbie Dashinger's Radio Interview Mastery Program is a unique branded system that works. MediaMasteryRadio.com puts you on a fast track to grow your business and easily book interviews. Learn how at MediaMasteryRadio.com. Debbie is fiercely committed to guiding entrepreneurs, authors, speakers, healers, and business people. Learn how to leverage your radio appearances to grow your business and increase your visibility at MediaMasteryRadio.com.
To nurture and care for you. What if you could open the doors to being everything you have decided is not possible to be? Have you always known you're different from the people around you? If you've been seeking something else is possible. To receive more on Access Consciousness, go to tinyurl.com/access change. Is this the change you've been looking for? tinyurl.com/access change.
You know, we don't have a lot of time. We're coming back into Dare to Dream, and I want to make sure to give people a little something-something here. So let me jump around with you a bit. Money. Regarding money and entrepreneurs, for so many entrepreneurs, there's really no guarantee of what money's coming in, right? Many have an inflow of income for weeks or months, and then boom, nothing for a period of time. Good months, and then slow financial months. What can entrepreneurs do to create a plan to weather this? And should it be financially up and down like that?
Ideally, no, it shouldn't be financially up and down like that. What I like to do with my clients is really to find a way to book some recurring regular revenue. For me, it's private coaching clients that I work with on a regular basis. And that enables me to have a steady base income, and it shifts around a little bit, but for the most part, that's a steady base income. So it's one of the things that I really work with my clients to help them figure out what is that steady base so that you're not constantly launching and you're not constantly trying like, oh, no, I need a client, I'm dying, I'm starving, I'm whatever. The other piece of it is that there are going to be months when you do a launch, when you do something else, regardless of what business you're in, that's going to bring in an extra inflow of money. And the key is to not look at that money and say, oh, look, I got another $50,000 this month, this week, or this day, or whatever, or $5,000, or whatever that number is for you. But to start to think about what is the best way to use that money and the best way to invest that money, or is it to invest that money in your life or invest it in your business, but to figure that out as the income is coming in. So the first step, again, is to find something that could create that solid base of income. Like I said, for me, it's my private coaching clients. And then the other things, how do I then spread them out over time to do those launches strategically? So either spread them out over time or to make sure that paying attention to that income and doing the things I need to do with that money in that way.
And this is Dare to Dream. What are you next, Dare to Dream? What are your future dreams and goals?
Oh, boy, you're going to put me on the spot here. I love it. I've got a couple of things. I dream on the big sticky Post-it notes these days. That's been my big dreaming things. And a couple of the things that I've got on my dream board right now are working with a different coach and just not even so much for a long-term commitment, but you know, really putting some time and energy to a different think, a different way of thinking, a different way of being. So that's one of the things on the business side of it. And on the personal side, I'm in a really interesting spot in my life right now. My kids are all off to college, and I'm trying to figure out who do I be. So, you know, some of the Dare to Dreams that I'm doing is trying to refine myself as, you know, my own person. Who is Carrie Green outside of Carrie Green Coaching? And some traveling and things like that are some of the things that I'm playing around with as well.
Exciting. Very exciting. And good luck with that empty nesting. It'll be interesting to follow you and see where you end up.
Yeah.
You know, being unique, I promise people we're going to deliver this because I love this piece. I teach this piece. And the places where we think we might be less than.
Yeah.
Talk about that. If you have a story, share that.
Oh, I've got a great story. You know, I always tell about me because I really think in so many ways owning a business is, like I said, it's all personal development and it's all about me. So I was on stage one time. I was on a panel talking about messaging. And it was messaging and branding. And I was on stage with this woman who I got up there, and my message, I answer a question, I give an answer, and I move on. It's like, okay, that's the way I think. I simplify things. So I was asked a question. I got the mic. I answered it. I handed the mic to the other woman. The other woman's my polar opposite. Visually, we're very different. I'm 5'1", she's 5'10", I'm white, she's African-American. I grew up in a nice middle to upper middle class environment. She grew up truly on the streets in Harlem, kicked out of her house at a very young age, put herself through college. Mommy and daddy paid for my college, and I graduated without any student loans. So really polar opposite people. However, when she took the mic, she's a preacher. Everybody in the audience is like, amen, hallelujah, you go, girl, you know, all this stuff. And I'm just like, oh, God, I'm dead. I look like a fool. How dare I even think that I have any qualifications here? Clearly, she is so much better than me. Clearly, she is so much smarter than me. Clearly, she is everything I'm not. She is an idiot. Now, this is what's going in my head. She is an idiot. How dare she do this to me? How dare she make me look like an idiot? Yeah, this is what's going on in my brain. Finally, she shuts up. Again, that's what's in my head. And I'm asked one more question. I give my quick. And the question is something like, in just a sentence or two, will you just share? So I share in just a sentence or two, and I give her the mic. And, you know, she does it all again. She goes on and on and on and on and on. She doesn't shut up. Finally, she's done. And the guy who's running the panel takes the mic back. And I said, one second, please. Give me the mic. And I said, because somehow the stars shone on me and the sky opened up and all the angels and all the fairies and whoever else actually gave me a message. And I said, clearly the two of us are very different. And that's what it's all about. Because there are people in this room who only heard my voice. Mm-hmm. There are also people in this room who only heard her voice. We all have our own message, and we all have our own way of giving that message and own way of sharing that message. So as you're going to, and this happened to be about messaging and branding, as you're talking about your message, your branding, understand that the way you speak and who you are is all that you have. If I had tried to be her, I would have looked like an idiot. If she had tried to be me, oh my goodness, what kind of, she could have never have done that. She would have looked like a fool. All you could be is yourself. With all the faults, all the quirks, all the good things, all the bad things, that's all you could be. So as you stand up on stage next to whoever you're standing with, know that you are 100% you, and don't try to be anybody else, because they can't be you and you can't be them.
You can't be them, they can't be you. Be 100% yourself.
Yeah.
We're listening to Carrie Green. She is the author of the book, Because You're Worth It, How to Make More Money by Charging More Money. You can get it on Amazon and also on her website. You can find her at Carrie Green with an E, CarrieGreenCoaching.com. Carrie, thank you so much for joining me today on Dare to Dream.
And totally my pleasure, my honor. Thank you, Debbie.
It was great having you. I end today's show with this quote from John Maxwell. Success is when I add value to myself. Significance is when I add value to others. For classes on media mastery training to become the best at radio, messaging yourself, your press kit, interviews, and also creating your book into a guaranteed bestseller, go to debbiedashinger.com as well as mybestsellerbook.com. Thank you so much for joining us today on Dare to Dream. I look forward to being with you again next week.
To contact the award-winning syndicated Dare to Dream radio show, go to debbiedashinger.com. Keep your excellent feedback and comments coming. Your host, Debbie Dashinger, is an expert at goal achievement, a media personality, an international best-selling author, and a keynote speaker. Debbie leads high-quality teleseminars on how to achieve goals, how to be a self-published best-selling author, and how to get booked on radio. All classes are at debbiedashinger.com. Debbie's best-selling books are Dare to Dream, This Life Counts, sold on Amazon, and her second book, Wisdom to Success, The Secrets to Accomplish All Your Dreams, sold online at all bookstores. Tune in again to hear the next inspiring interview guest who has turned their vision into a successful reality. Want more support in making your dreams come true? Go to debbiedashinger.com. That's www.debbiedashinger.com. You'll see videos, MP3s, archived interviews, and amazing products, sharing the secret steps to making your dreams come true. Remember to dream big with every expectation that your dream will become real. Dreams are free, so free your dreams. What do you dare to dream?
Here I'm standing now, waiting for my time to be all that I can be. It's so easy to forget, life is in my hands, and I can change it if I want.